hear the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is a WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning, we're focusing on traffic. We're focusing on your safety, being in the car and not having problems. We're getting, one of the biggest areas of concern here in Rutherford County is traffic. Everybody's saying, yeah, there's so much traffic, and there is a lot of traffic. That just comes with growth, I guess. But there are some ways that our local law enforcement are working to make things safer. Visiting with us this morning from the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office, Patrol Sergeant is with us, Austin Watson. Austin, good morning to you.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing great. Good to have you with us today.
Yes, sir.
And you brought a friend with you.
Yes. Sergeant Heron here. I'll let him introduce himself.
Good morning. Top of the morning to you, Bart. I'm Sergeant Heron with the Community Service Division.
Well, it's good to have you with us today.
It's good to be here.
You've got something coming up. DUI checkpoint. Tell us when that will be and what is the purpose of that?
Sure. So the Rutherford County Traffic Safety Task Force will be conducting a DUI sobriety checkpoint January 24th, which is next Friday. Be on South Rutherford right there at Husky Trust. It's a new year. You know, we want to make sure that people are, you know, not driving impaired, get impaired drivers off the road, and kind of set the tone that that won't be tolerated in Rutherford County.
And so that's coming up on the 24th, you say?
24th, next Friday.
Okay. And what is your main goal in this?
It's to get impaired drivers off the road. So we want to provide a safe roadway for our residents, for the community members. Impaired drivers on the road, they cause accidents. They can cause fatal accidents, you know, because they do not have mental and physical capacity to drive those vehicles. So our main goal is to get those impaired drivers off the road, make sure that everybody's safe, that we don't have any fatal accidents, that we don't have any serious injury wrecks, and that we can curb the impaired driving problem as what we face every year.
And do you hand out quite a few citations when you have these safety checks?
So the goal is not to write citations for minor traffic offenses. The goal is to educate. Okay, if people have questions, we'll definitely educate. Hey, if you're a sober driver, we'd like to answer whatever questions you have. But the main goal is to, if we see any signs of impairment, is to check that driver, make sure that they're okay to drive. If they're okay to drive, we let them, you know, go about their business. But if they're not okay to drive, if they are impaired, then, of course, they've got to come with us.
So that's something you need to be aware of if you are impaired. You know, you're going to take an extra side trip.
Yeah. You get the ride with us, so that's never fun.
You know, one of the things, Bart, let me just say this. I love working traffic as well. I help him out a lot in the traffic side when they have certain things that's going on. And, you know, a $30 call to Uber or Lyft will save you about $10,000.
Is it that expensive?
Wow. By the time they go to court and go through all their classes, all the stuff they got to do, you think about it. All you got to do is push one button on your phone and call an Uber, and you won't have to worry about that big bill later or the fact that you may actually kill somebody or yourself, God forbid. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, these folks that says, well, I think I'm okay to drive. I'm all right. Well, if you're just thinking that you're okay, the best thing you might want to do is think about pushing that button and calling an Uber or Lyft, and then you won't have to worry about all these problems and your family go through all that financial difficulties and then the process of you having to miss work because most likely you're going to jail. Then you got to go to court. You got to go to classes. You got to do all this other stuff. So it takes just one button from a Lyft or Uber driver, you know, to say, hey, I need a ride. And it's going to save you a lot of money.
So just a few bucks versus 10,000.
Absolutely.
And
at
a
least.
Whole lot less time.
Absolutely.
A lot less time.
And look how many people you saved.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
That's, at the end of the day, that's the whole goal. We want people to go home safely. We want people to be alive, enjoy their life, their family, their kids. And it's so much easier just to push the Lyft or Uber button and call somebody to come pick you up.
Now, I know you've done these for years. Tell us some of the comments you get from people. You're bound to get some people say, thank you for doing this. I needed this reawakening.
Yeah, there's been times that I've made DUI arrests. He's probably made DUI arrests that people really do say it's a wake-up call. There are people that I've met in the community years later that recognized me and came up and said, hey, you turned my life around. You got me back on the right path. And I think that's part of why we do DUI enforcement. If we can make that impact, a positive impact, even though in a bad situation, maybe we can get people the help that they need to get back into society and do all that. So,
do you think that are we seeing an increase in DUI cases here as compared to 20, 30, 40 years ago?
An increase, yes. Just because you got to think about how much the science behind field sobriety has come along. When you think about the late 80s, early 90s, when NHTSA and Southern California Research Institute came up with the 3 field sobriety tests, and they started making that in the late 90s, early 2000s, officers were getting that SFST training, that 24 hours. That's a basic course when you go to the academy now. So it's a whole lot more, you're getting more arrests because people are identifying it more and there's better training. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
There was more impaired crashing and deaths in the late 70s, 80s. Now people are getting more off the road. We're still dealing with impaired crashes, but not as a high of a rate as we do now because officers are trained to see those signs.
So you're able to stop these people, and then, of course, it's up to them whether or not they're going to turn around, but you give them the opportunity to physically turn their lives around.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, some people have a wake-up call. There's been people that they say, hey, they had a couple drinks, and I believed them. You know, I didn't think they were too impaired to drive, but they go, that's a little too close for comfort. Maybe I shouldn't have that one beer or two beers at dinner and then take the chance that I'm right there at the line and then have to take that ride. And education is a big a part of what we do as enforcement. So the more we can educate inside of enforcement makes the community trust us more.
And also, you got to think too there, Bart, you got people out here that are maybe new to drinking, you know, you're new 21 year olds, right? And so they've never really been drinking a lot. So 2 beers to them could be like 6 beers to somebody else.
Sure.
And
sure.
So it, and a lot of it depends upon, of course, your weight, your just the way you're structured in your body, how it absorbs. And so there's a lot of factors that people don't take into account when they're drinking. So they're just sitting there having a great time, but their body can't, you know, filter it through like it should or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So they're drunk a whole lot quicker. And then they think because they're young, I'm just fine. It's going to be okay.
And it's not.
And it's not. And then next thing you know, we get telephone calls from our wonderful citizens here in Rutherford County. Hey, there's a car that's weaving all over the road, going fast, going slow. Happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. So they don't realize they're doing this.
No, absolutely not. They're impaired.
They're impaired.
And they think they're okay, but they're not.
Now, is this strictly alcohol impairment, or do you have drug? Do you have medicines? I mean, some people are on medications.
And on those medications, don't drive your vehicle if you take this medication. Mm-hmm. It may cause dizziness or drowsiness. I mean, it's on the pill bottle. And so what happens is, I need to take this, but I'll be okay. Well, maybe all the other times, the 9 other times you've taken it, you've been fine. But maybe that day you didn't eat like you normally do. And so now it starts affecting your body a whole different way. Now you become impaired.
And that's where you're not only a danger to yourself,
absolutely,
but others around you.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
And this is why you're wanting to have these special DUI checkpoints. And again, we'll stress that this is coming up Friday, January 24th. Mm-hmm. What time in the evening again?
So it'll be on South Rutherford at Husky Trust between the hours of 10 and midnight.
Okay. Now, if somebody's driving, and I've asked this before, but it runs through my mind. Somebody's driving along, and then they see the checkpoint. They see the flashing blue lights, and they think, wait a minute. I don't have my driver's license, or I don't have this, or I did that the other day. I don't want to go through that. If they turn around, that's bound to look suspicious.
So case law allows for at least a safe turnaround, which is what we give them. So there is a turnaround point prior to the DUI checkpoint. That is not suspicious. Some people just don't want to talk to the police. We understand that. But we have to give them a safe turnaround on both sides, which they are allowed to do.
Is that a certain amount of feet from the DUI checkpoint, or what's that determined?
It is. There's a certain feet. I couldn't tell you right off the top of my head, but it's somewhere where you're given enough distance for a safe turnaround prior to entering the checkpoint.
So if they don't see you and they're right up on you and then they turn around, are you going to try to pull them over?
Probably not. And usually where we have it when on Husky Trust, so as you come from Church Street, you're coming down the hill, you got plenty of ways to see us. And if you're coming from the Southeast Broad, Manchester Pride side, you've got at least half a mile to three quarters of a mile to see us. So if you can't see them pretty blue lights from a mile away, I don't know what else to tell you, but
you've really got a problem.
Yeah. Maybe we need to talk about driving something else.
You know what? This is the way I look at this too. You never know if that person is coming through there and said, man, I wished I hadn't, but did, and he was impaired. It may be the best thing that's ever happened to you. I mean, I hate to say that, but this, like we were saying earlier, this could be the wake up call.
If the way they react to you, does that determine the severity of what's going to happen? I mean, do you ever give them a second chance?
So it's I know when I've done DUI checks, there's a lot of factors that takes in place. It's not how they interact with me. When I say that, you know, if they've got slurred speech, if their eyes are red and glossy and they're just, you can tell that something is not isn't right. Regardless of how they react to me, if I see those clues, then I'm going to start the investigation. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does.
So it's,
yeah.
I don't care how they talk to me. I don't, that's, you know, when I say that, they can be rude or whatever. I don't want to do all this stuff. And if I feel like there's clues there, then I've got probable cause to at least start the SFSTs. So
now what is that?
That's a standardized field sobriety test.
Okay.
Yes.
Tell you what, let's do. Let's pause for just a moment. When we come back, be thinking about some of the most unusual stories somebody has given you when they've been stopped, whether it's at one of these DUI checkpoints or if it's just out a regular traffic stop. They've been driving erratically. What are some of the stories? You've bound to have heard some interesting stories. Do you have people trying to climb all over themselves to switch the driver's position, hoping you don't see them? We'll find out.
Now, more than ever, start your mornings with WGNS. Swap and Shop with Bart Walker. Weekday mornings, 7:50 to 8:10 on WGNS, AM, FM, online.
And I would highly recommend Adam's Place. It's a place to enjoy life. It's comfortable. The settings are home-like and not sterile. Adam's Place is a place they're looking out for you. You feel at home, and I'm very fortunate there's a lot of people here I already knew. To get back to the food, I want to say one thing. The chef does a fabulous job here. I'm Larry Castelli. You know, I would highly recommend Adam's Place.
Discover hidden treasures at the Garden Patch Thrift Shop on Spring Street in Murfreesboro. Whether you're searching for stylish clothing, sturdy furniture, or even large appliances, We've got them all at prices that you'll love. But here's the best part. 100% of your purchase supports Greenhouse Ministries, serving over 70 families a day. Your shopping dollars go straight back into the community, making a real impact. Shop smart and give back at the Garden Patch Thrift Shop on Spring Street in Murfreesboro.
High temperatures climbing up into the upper 30s for this afternoon with sunny to partly cloudy skies. And for tonight, clear and calm, a low of 25. I'm meteorologist Michael Caron, News Radio WGNS. Right now, 23 degrees.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's restaurant. The salmon is my favorite, and then we have a variation that's on a regular menu for the salmon imperial that has some Alfredo, some crab, some shrimp on it. But the salmon is fresh, and we cut it fresh. But all of our fish, you can either get blackened, or you can get it with our regular seasoned salt. And either way you do it, it's just out of this world. I'm not a fish person, but I will eat it at Demas's all the time. Come eat with us at Demas's restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
From lift kits to tires, Tire World has the experts and the knowledge to get it done.
This is Gator with Tire World Off-Road. We're your local rough country dealer. So when you're ready to add some character to your rig, ask for Gator at Tire World on Memorial Boulevard.
The Rutherford Roundup brings you local headlines in minutes, weekdays, wherever you listen, or WGNSradio.com/Rutherford Roundup.
Hey, welcome back. We're talking law and order this morning. Our phone number, 615-893-1450. Did you get that? 615-893-1450. You can text us any questions dealing with traffic safety checks. You can text us and ask about DUIs, things of that sort. We left you with the thought of what are some of the most unique comments people have given as an excuse for what happened to them or why they're driving the way they are? Or are they climbing all over each other trying to swap drivers' positions if one of them's really impaired and they're thinking, you'll never see this happening? Do you see it happening?
Once you asked that question a few minutes ago, I'm sitting there going, I've never seen that. But then I started thinking about your theme song, the Swap Shop. So that's right. That's what we're going to start calling that's the Swap Shop. Bart Swap Shop. That shop right there. I personally, Bart, have never seen somebody try to swap. My biggest thing, that's what we were just talking about, is they try to act like that everything is all right. And, all of a sudden they'll start using every signal. They'll turn, they'll put that signal on, and they'll try to get away from us, I guess, but try to act normal. But yeah. When you're impaired, it's very, very hard to act normal because when they make that turn, it's either going to be a big turn or it's going to be a tight turn and hit the curve and stuff like that. The funny thing, one of the biggest comments that we hear the most as officers is we ask the question, how many beers have you had?
Two beers.
It's always two. It's never three. I wish they would say three just for one time to make me happy, but it's always, I've only had two. Well,
I don't know what's happening.
How big are those two?
Did you come from Champions?
Yeah, I'm just saying, So it's, that to me, and they always try to deny most, I won't say always, most of them try to deny that they're not impaired. A lot of them will. And again, they really don't argue with you, but they try to plead their case that I am okay. I just want to get home. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get home. Please let me go home. I had one not too long ago that said to me, he's like, well, my mom is sick and is in the hospital or fixing to go to the hospital. I've been trying to call her. Okay, so if that was the case, why are you in the middle of the medium, just hit those big old wires out there, your car's totaled out, and you're impaired? So you wasn't too worried about it. You know what I'm saying? And it's sad. It really is. It is an illness.
So you come up on some of these people who've already had their accident.
Yes.
I'd say probably 25% of the wrecks we probably work every year are probably impaired related.
Yes.
Give or take.
All ages, or is it one age more than another?
No, it's, I mean, I've had juveniles do it up to people who are in their 60, 70 years old.
So when you have an older person, they have had either a long time to develop this bad habit, or they really need some help.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and as I don't know, you can speak to that a little bit more, but either they've had the habit for a long, long time, or it's become a recent thing because of life happening. You know, maybe they lost their spouse, you know, of 50 years, or, you know, they're got bad medical news or something like that. That's what you usually see when you get into the older driver population, is a life event has happened, and or they had the problem for so long that it's just, it's a continuation.
I'd never thought about that. You, when you hear some of these stories, and some of these are real, they're not made up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've lost my spouse. I've just found out that I'm dying of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
What? You're in a special position to help those people at that time.
Mm-hmm.
What can you do for them?
Well, up front, we still got to take care of the problem. That's the unfortunate part of our job, is we still have to have enforcement. But we work really well with the DA's office. So there are programs that the DAs have access to that can get them help on the back end. So when those kind of cases happen, having a good relationship with our ADAs and DA's office, we can say, hey, this is what's going on. Maybe we can pull this down under certain conditions that, hey, they get this type of help, this type of treatment. And that way, we're getting them the help on the back end. We made the arrest. Now let's get them the help that they need.
What kind of service? Because I'm thinking, as you mention these things, I can see people listening right now who have just received that word.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
What can they do? Is there something, can they go to the DA before they have this happen and say, can you get me to some place that can help me?
So before they even get pulled over, if they recognize that there's a problem, there are so many programs out here that can help them. You know, a lot of times when stuff like the traumatic incidents in our families happen, we become singled out. We become recluse. We just separate from everybody. Those are those times when you really have to not go into a corner and hide. You have to start clinging to your family during those times. And so it's so important that they realize, hey, I really do have a problem, but I need help. I need some company. I need somebody to talk about this. And I think that's so important to people that are listening that may be going through this. You're not in this alone. There is so much help out here for you. And, you know, like Sergeant said, we have to do our job. And yes, it is heartbreaking when we hear those stories and we realize this is a true event that's happened in our lives, but we have a job to do. And if I get you off the road, and it, you know, if it's your first offense, there's sometimes it all just depends, but they may be released that night. But if I get you off the road and you're impaired, my main thing is I've done my job. I've saved somebody else's life. Because not that anybody says, you know, I'm going to get drunk and I'm going to really hurt people tonight. That's not their intention. It's all by accident. And by situation. You know, you understand what I'm saying? So I get them off the road. I've either saved my family's life, your family lives, or the listener's family's life, just for that moment that they are in jail while I'm doing the paperwork to get them.
And you save them from themselves, right? The driver is just as important. You know, because single vehicle accidents can't happen. You know, if they end up killing themselves, you know, you stop them from hurting themselves and hurting the community as well.
You know, let me give you just a real quick statistic.
Sure.
On something, because, you know, we look on one end of the aspect, But I've been reading this right here. 56% of children are unrestrained when the driver is alcohol impaired. 56% of the children are unrestrained. Now you
56%.
Think you
wow.
think about that the moment they have an accident and those kids are unrestrained
and they're light, they go flying through the
absolutely.
Window.
Absolutely. And so it's
Robertson County just had it. Robertson County had a fatal last week, right before the snowstorms, where two children died with their dad being an impaired driver.
And that's so sad. Mm-hmm. I mean, but that's what happens is they think everything is okay. And it's a sad place to be. I hate it for folks that are going through this. It is an illness. But I promise you there is help out there. If you have alcohol issues or drug issues, there is so much help out there that you can get to prevent these type of tragedies to happen.
Here's a text from a listener who says, my father is having a difficult time right now. He's challenged with some driving. I hate to take his keys away because that's his freedom, and I can respect that. What should I do? That's a hard one.
That's a hard one. I've talked about this before on here is talk to doctors. Doctors are really good about that kind of stuff. Medically taking away their license for a little bit, figuring out the problem and then letting them retest is really good. We understand, you know, driving is freedom. Driving is a privilege, but you don't want those people to your loved ones, especially to end up in a bad accident because they weren't able to drive effectively. There's no easy answer on that. That's a hard question.
Well, I'll give you my thought on just what she said. She realizes that there's an issue and her gut is telling her to take the keys. And then that's what I would do. Cause at the end of the day, it may hurt his feelings, but it's going to save somebody's life. And so if she's feeling that way already, then that's probably what she needs to do. And also like Sergeant Austin was saying that you talk to the doctors to get some help on that as well. So that they, you know, a lot of times they won't listen to family, but they'll listen to that doctor.
Them doctors are smart.
Yeah.
Well, now if she didn't say this, well, she mentioned that this was her father.
Yes.
So that's gotta be a strange feeling. You're correcting the person who raised you and showed you how to live.
Life's weird like that.
It is. If you think about it, when we was kids, our parents took care of us. And mm-hmm. now when we're adults, we're starting to take care of our parents.
That's right.
So the roles okay. are reversed.
Yeah.
And with that means sometimes you have to do hard things, just like our parents had to do hard things for us. You know, I remember being in trouble not being able to drive for a while because I didn't do good at school or whatever it was. Well, sometimes the roles are reversed, and we have to do that because we love our parents, and our parents loved us to do that.
Now, are you finding this different on each individual as far as when they should stop driving, or should there be a law that says at such and such age you need to take Ubers?
I don't think there should be a law. I think it should be on an individual basis. If we start saying, hey, you're 75 years old, you got to retest every year, you're causing undue stress to somebody who's that age. But, you know, some people are 95 years old and healthy as a horse. And then there's some that are 65 years old that are not healthy. So I think it's definitely on an individual basis. If you get let government come in and make a law, I think it puts too much undue stress on that age population.
My personal opinion is at a certain, whenever, let's say they get to a older age, I guess. I don't want to give an age because I don't want to single anybody out, but I think maybe, you know, because at some point when maybe there's been some issues that they have to be retested just to make sure that they're able to drive. Not that it's a law. I don't know if I want to say a law. That's just my personal opinion. I think at some
well, that's what the medical retest is for.
Yes.
That's why we have that in the state of Tennessee. Is if a doctor, an officer, or the courts feel like you are unable to drive, they take your license and then they make you what call a medical retest to go through the driving test again just to make sure you can do the basics. They get you the help you need. And if you can get through the basics, they give you your license back. If not, then they have to do some other stuff with doctors before you can.
Something came to mind as we were talking about this. A friend of mine who is what you would consider an older person has a very clear head. I mean, he's sharp as a tack. But I'll go to see him once in a while, and he always drives a nice car. I've noticed lately, though, his nice car has a lot of dents and dings in it. And he said to me, he said, I'm afraid that my daughter's going to take my keys away, despite the dicks and the, you know, the dings and the dents and stuff like that. So he knows, I guess, I mean, that's, I never had thought about that until you were talking about, he realizes he has a problem.
Yeah.
Do other people, is that a normal thing that you're seeing? Do they realize they have a problem? And it's got to be hard to know what to do if you know you have a problem.
It is. And, you know, sometimes it's just accepting the facts. And that's really hard to do that. Especially, I'm not that old. But, you know, when you have somebody that's been driving for many years, and they know that they can, but over time they start realizing, just like you said, your friend started realizing that, hey, something's happening. And, and I think a lot of times our pride steps in the way, and we're like, I'm not going to give that up. I don't want to do that. But on a safety side, maybe it's a good thing to do that for a little bit. Maybe it's a good thing to, you know, have your family at this point. Yeah, it's going to be an inconvenience to the family, but maybe let them drive you around. You drove us around when we was kids for all those years. So let's return the favor. Let me drive you around a little while.
Now, I haven't been in the car with them when they got some of these dents in the car, but so I don't know if it's impaired driving or driving at night or, you know, what it is.
There's so many factors. You know, what
is it? Could it be in the daytime you have this problem, too?
You never know. Oh, yeah. Could be cataracts. I mean, I don't know. I'm just...
Could be anything.
It could be anything. It could just be the lack of being able to respond quickly enough. You know what I'm saying? Or realize a little bit late that, hey, I'm about to hit this pylon or whatever it is. And they can't react because they've gotten older. And, you know, becoming a senior is... That's traumatic over, you know, because you still feel young, but your mind isn't the way that it used to be. You can't react the way that you used to. And I think, you know, on that statement that the lady texted in here, I think the best thing to do, if it was me, is just have that conversation, just like your dad had the conversation with you when you was younger. Hey, this is what I expect, you know. It's reversing the roles. It really is. And just saying, listen, let me help you out a little bit, Dad. I don't know if she's got other brothers or sisters, but hey, as a family, we're going to come together. If you need something, we're going to get it. If you need to go to the grocery store, you know what? We're going to set you up with an account somewhere that they'll bring the food to you, so you don't have to do that. You know, you got pharmacies that will deliver the medicines to your home. So it's eliminating them ways that they don't have to go out. Because a lot of them, I got to go get some groceries. Well, there's a lot of programs out there now that will bring you groceries for a little fee or whatever it is. You know, Kroger, I think they have a Kroger delivery thing where go online, tell your kids this is what you want. Somehow just eliminate the driving.
We got another text from another listener. This one says, I'm in a similar situation. My dad's doctor said he should not drive, told him that. We've taken away the keys, but he had another set of keys that... And he still drives. We know he drives. He's never told us, but we know he gets around.
Well, I know how to eliminate that. You unhook the battery. Take the battery out.
Interesting.
That's happened to me. My dad took it out. I would sneak. I'd find out where the keys were at, and that's exactly what I'd do. But he fixed me. He just took the battery out, so I couldn't do that.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's different ways. You know what I'm saying? And it's, again, at the end of the day, I don't want to sound like that we're trying to be rude or disrespectful to anybody. At the end of the day, we want that person to be safe, and we want our community to be safe at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Take the battery out.
Absolutely.
Interesting. Interesting. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Absolutely.
We will be right back. The final segment, so if you have a question or if you have a follow-up, text it to us quickly.
Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett. Weekday mornings at 10.
WGNS, your good neighbor station.
Rutherford County's place to talk.
Here at Animal City in Murfreesboro, we are your go-to for everything cold-blooded. Whether it's geckos or snakes or tortoises, we've got a great selection. Plus, we've got all the tanks, lighting, and food to set up the perfect habitat. If you're not sure where to start, don't worry. Our team knows reptiles and can help you every step of the way. Come see us at 919 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro. We're open Monday through Saturday, 10 to 6, and Sunday from 1 to 5. Find us anytime on Instagram at AnimalCityTN.
In today's changing world, you need a financial planner that you're comfortable with. Rely on the bonds that you've built with trusted friends at Old National Bank on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard here in the borough. And if you just moved here, visit us and enjoy warm, homemade cookies.
Honey, the cookies are ready.
Like Grandma used to make. Old National Bank, we're better together.
2230 Dr. MLK Jr. Boulevard. Old National Bank, member FDIC.
This is MTSU President Sidney McPhee. You're listening to WGNS, your local connection to Blue Raider Athletics.
WGNS AM, FM, online.
We are back again, the final segment of our broadcast. I want to say happy birthday today to Alexis Johnson. Alexis wins the delicious banana pudding from our friends at Slick Pig Barbecue. Happy birthday, Alexis. And our good neighbor of the day is Hope Rogers. Hope is over there at the Villages of Murfreesboro. Big smile in her voice. I hear her on the radio, and boy, she cares about those people. And that's why somebody nominated her to be the good neighbor of the day. Hope is going to receive flowers from Jenny Harrison and the family at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. Good place for you to get flowers. To perk somebody up, make them know that they are appreciated. Our phone number, and we have just a few minutes left, if you want to text us a question, 615-893-1450. We're talking about safety driving. We're talking about the driver's checkpoint coming up. And again, for people who just tuned in, when is that driver's DUI checkpoint?
So DUI checkpoint will be next Friday, the 24th of January, on South Rutherford between Broad and Church, right there at Husky Trust, be between 10 and midnight.
Okay. 10 and midnight. So if you see a bunch of blue lights, there's not some horrible wreck out there.
There's not. No.
Hopefully.
Right. Hopefully.
Maybe some unhappy people, but.
Maybe.
But you're there to help them.
Absolutely.
And the things we've been talking about today are things that you find out. I mean, there may be a person who should not be driving out at this time. Are there people that should be limited to daytime driving only? Or I don't know.
I don't think so. It comes back to it's just the individual. I mean, driving at day, driving at night. Heck, I don't like driving at night anymore because my eyes aren't as good as they used to be. So, I mean, it's just your personal preference, I think.
Okay. Yeah. So I wasn't sure whether when you reach a certain age, if it's safer for you to drive in the daytime.
Well, you know, at that age, they start realizing I can't drive at night as good. So everything is done during the day. It's a lot of times they make their own decision. You know what I'm saying? The good thing is this is America, the land of the free. And so they, like he was saying, they can make their own decision on that. But they start realizing, and you'll see, you will notice that most seniors drive during the day because they can see a whole lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't see them out at nighttime. It's very rare unless it's something, you know, that's going on. So they make their own decisions on that.
And you indicated that a lot of times these people know deep down when they should be,
yes,
putting in the keys.
Yes. It's they know it, but they don't want to give it up. That's just the way it is.
It's freedom.
It is freedom.
I mean, you're having to ask somebody else for a ride every time you want to go somewhere.
Absolutely. And that's why I was saying earlier, we got to put the pride aside and let your family help you.
Mm-hmm. This is really far out. We hear so much about these cars that drive themselves. Is that going to be the answer? Is it the answer?
I mean, it's not the answer. Look in California. I mean, they have them all out there, and there'll be an accident, and the car is trying to get around the accident when the traffic is stopped. The self-drive. Now, who knows? Who would ever believe we'd be talking on a cell phone? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just things can happen. And we have some smart people out there. Maybe one day, but right now is not the answer. Not for this self-driving stuff. There's no way that they can react. It can't. I just don't see it happening. Maybe I'm old too. I don't know. But I just, you know, that's just.
We're in the final 5 minutes of our broadcast this morning. And is there a message that you wanted to reemphasize or maybe say again? Because people do tune in. They didn't tune in at the beginning of the broadcast, say. Something that they really need to take home with them today.
Let me say first, because I'm going to say the best for last. So one of the things that we're trying to do is slow people down.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before, but I'm going to let you. You're going to be the big guy. So just stop me in just about 1 minute.
Okay.
One of the biggest things right now is that we have noticed is speed is going. Is people's they're speeding. They need to slow down. And you know, ticket starts around $200, go up to about $333. I think that's one of the big ones. So, you know, well, I'm only doing 10 over. Okay, well, that's $308.50. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Have a good day. Sign hard. You know, press hard when you sign it. The thing is, speed kills, and we want everybody to slow down. And that's probably my biggest thing that if I could give one thing out there is that please slow down, folks. Wherever you're going, it will be there when you get there. Just real quick, I stopped a gentleman the other night out on John Bragg. He was doing 96 miles an hour.
Ooh, wow.
In a 65-mile-hour zone. And I asked him, I said, where are you headed to? He goes, I'm going to work, and I'm running late. I looked at him and I said, buddy, your work ain't going nowhere. It's not. It's going to be there when you get there. And if you're late, you're late. You should have left earlier. But doing 96 miles an hour, that ain't the other two that I caught at 100 miles an hour on John Bragg.
What's in their mind?
I don't know. That's the million-dollar question, Bart. What's in their mind to be going that fast?
I mean, you talk about car. I mean, wasn't midnight, I don't guess.
No, it wasn't midnight. It was around 9 o'clock.
So there were a lot of other cars on the road.
Absolutely. So that's what I got to say. I'll say the best for last.
I'm not about the best for last, but you know, we want to remind people as we continue to grow. I know a big thing with the population, that's what I hear, is traffic safety. And we want to remind people, be good to your neighbors, okay? You know, share the road, keep the road safe. Please don't drink and drive or use drugs and drive. Wear your seatbelt. Take care of children. You know, make sure they're in their car seat correctly. And just be a good neighbor. I mean, at the end of the day, we want people to feel safe on our Rutherford County roadways. We as the sheriff's office and agencies here try to help educate, but we want people to feel safe on our roadways. We want to reduce fatalities. We want to reduce serious injury crashes. Slow down. Like you said, work's going to be there. The restaurant's still going to be there. You're still going to wait 45 minutes everywhere in Murfreesboro. So, you know, don't drink and drive. Don't use drugs and drive. Wear your seatbelt. Seatbelts save lives. And really just be a good neighbor while you're on the roadways.
I like what you said. Where you said, give yourself a little extra time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sergeant Watson and Sergeant Heron from the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office, our guests this morning. I tell you, you've had some great information you've shared.
Well, that's great. That's what we like. We're here for the community.
That's right.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And don't forget the DUI checkpoint. It's coming up Friday night, January the 24th, 10 until midnight on South Church.